What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hold in mind the phrase of verse number 20. For you are bought with a price. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now notice the latter clause of verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Chapter 1, the book of Ephesians, verses 13 and 14. For a text and a subject. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. I choose to preach tonight from the 14th verse, and this text, and this subject, the purchased possession. The purchased possession. You may be seated, and the Lord bless you. When we think of God, we think of a supreme being. We think of a big, wonderful, great God that had power, and on many occasions He demonstrated that power. The first record that we have of God, now this is as far back as we can go, is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that's as far back as I can go. That's as far back as the human mind can go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. We cannot go beyond Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the book of Genesis teaches us that God made all things. And I'm old-fashioned enough to believe in the Genesis account of the story of creation. The Bible teaches us that God made all things. Genesis teaches us that God had power to form. He had power to create. God had power to form man. And God had power to set him on his feet as a living soul. Man is the product of God. The book of Genesis will declare that be the truth. Now, this same God had power to separate light from darkness. This same God had power to separate the land from the water. And when it was all done, God said it was good and very good. Now, I'm leading up to something here tonight. I'm going to lay a foundation for this message. The greatness of God, what He has done in the past, His power to create, His power to form, His power to make man, His power to stretch out the heavens alone, power to spread abroad the earth by Himself. All of this credit goes to God. And let me tell you that what you see in the heavens above and in the earth beneath did not come by an accident. The Bible said we understand by faith the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We must all admit that tonight. Anybody that believes in the Bible, that believes in God, will have to say that all things were created by Him and for Him. All that God had to do was to speak the word, and a world came into existence. And when he had formed and created all the things on earth and all the things in heaven, he said, it's good and it's very good. Good and it's very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's the reason that I'm saying this tonight, is to refresh your memory. Everything that dwells in heaven, the host of angels, the stars, the sun, the moon, all that dwells upon the face of the earth, the grass, the rivers, the trees, the mountains, all of that came about because God one day spoke the word and it happened. I said he spoke the word and it happened. The earth and heaven and all that dwelt therein. Now this may be a shocking statement to some of you if you're not too well acquainted with the Bible. When I look at my text I've chosen tonight, God in all the Bible, you read it through and through, you'll never find where God ever purchased anything but the church. He never bought anything but the church. He never purchased the world. He never purchased heaven. He made the heavens and he made the earth. And he made the angels and he made the fish in the sea and in the rivers. He did not purchase heaven, nor he did not purchase the earth. But he purchased his church by his own blood. And he calls that church his purchased possession. Hallelujah. Before I get through tonight, I'm going to cause you to think about the church maybe more so than you have ever thought about it before. Somebody said the church, oh, that's another religious organization. The church is just another movement. And after a while, it will soon play out and it'll go down the drain like everything else. I'm here to stand tonight under the drippings of Calvary and tell you the church is the lasting thing that Jesus Christ has put up on this earth. The church will never be destroyed. As I read the book of Revelation, I can find the church in heaven. I can find the church that made it into heaven, because the Bible said they cast their crowns before the throne of his glory and they praised and gave thanks unto the Lord. The church is not going down, it's going up. I want you to keep these things in mind. Now, let's look back at Israel for a few moments. Let's look at those brave Jews. Did it ever occur to you that Israel was never purchased? You know how the nation of Israel came into being? It came into being by promise. God made a promise to Abraham. I said God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed that were to follow. Israel was never purchased. But I tell you what was purchased. The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church was purchased. God had his eye upon Israel. They were in bondage in Egypt. One day God sent a man to that strange land by the name of Moses. He went down and led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And as they got in, all of this great blessings that God bestowed upon them, he fed them and cared for them because he loved them. At last, they went across the River Jordan through the leadership of Joshua into the land of promise that was flowing with milk and honey. Oh, God bless the Israelites. But he did not purchase them. They came into being because God saw something in them. And he made a promise through Abraham. Hallelujah. And when he made that promise through Abraham, he fulfilled that promise. I read in the book where the Bible said of all the promises that God ever made to Israel through his servant Moses, he never failed in one of those promises. Man may fail. Man may go back on his word. But everything that God has ever said, you can write it down in your little book. It's going to be exactly like God said it was going to be. He cannot be changed. Hallelujah. Promise to Abraham. Came to a large land flowing with milk and honey. Now, let me impress something on you. If God had power to create, did you ever wonder where the angels came from? They're angelic beings. If God had power to speak worlds into existence, if He had power to form and frame and create and to make men to breathe into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul, don't you think if God would have so desired, He could have created and brought into existence a group of people and called them His church? But somehow He didn't see fit to do that. He didn't see fit to do that. But God, who is eternal, who is the Spirit, the Almighty God, veiled Himself in the temple of human flesh. He came into this world. The flesh suffered. The flesh died. The flesh supplied the blood. Hallelujah. And the Bible said from His side came forth water and blood. Let me tell you, what a price He paid. What a price He paid. And He paid that price on Calvary that He might purchase, He might buy, He might purchase, He might buy a church and call it His body, call it His bride. He did not create us. He did not create a church. But thank God He purchased a church. And what a price He paid. I said, what a price He paid. If the earth was silver, if the moon was gold, if the sun was a diamond, and if Jupiter was a pearl, and put it all together, it could never purchase the church I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Paul said, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You can take all of this old world tonight, heap it together, the diamonds, the pearls, the gold, the silver, the material things, everything worldwide. It would not buy one individual soul to keep you from going to hell. But one drop of that sinless blood that came down from His side. Oh, hallelujah! It's able to touch the unsaved and the unconverted and bring them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Somebody said the church doesn't amount to anything. You wait till I get through here tonight. He did not bring us into being like Israel. He did not bring the church into being like it did the world, but He purchased the church. I said He brought the church into being by purchase. And what a price He paid. I want to give you some scripture tonight. I feel like giving you the infallible Word of God. So many doubt the Bible. They say, how do we know the Bible is the book of God? I'll tell you what settled in my mind. This Bible told me to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that I would receive the Holy Ghost. I took that book at the promise of God. I took it as a promise. I went to an old-fashioned altar under the drippings of Calvary, and God Almighty baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I know the Bible tonight is the book of God. No doubt in my mind tonight about the Bible. Let me give you a scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now you go back up about two verses, up to the 16th verse of Matthew chapter 16. This is what you'll find. When they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus talking to His disciples, He said, whom the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, some said you are John the Baptist. Some said you are Jeremiah. Some said you are one of the prophets. But Jesus said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock, what rock? Upon the true identity of Himself. Upon the fact that He is the rock of ages, an unshakable rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. That foundation is sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. What about Mount Zion? Hebrews 12:22-23. We are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, and the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. He laid in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and whosoever believeth on him will not be ashamed. I'm not going to stop there. Ephesians 2:19-20. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And it builds upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm not going to stop there. Acts 4:11. The stone that you builders has rejected, that stone has become the head of the corner. Brother, he's the cornerstone of what I'm preaching about tonight. And it was purchased. I said it was purchased. Listen, I'm going to give you something tonight to think about. The foundation of the church is the only sure foundation. The Bible said the foundation of this world one day will reel to and fro like a drunken man. Did you hear me? The sun will become as black as sackcloth and hair. The stars are going to fall from heaven to the earth like a big tree when it's been shaken by an untimely wind. And one day the foundation of this earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunken man. Men are going to run to the rocks and to the mountains and say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall upon us, hide us from him that sitteth upon the throne. Oh, listen. There's not but one firm foundation that's going to stand. That's the foundation upon which the church has been established. Because he purchased that church, and he's not going to let the devil steal what he bought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hear me preaching tonight. Listen, I'm giving you some positive preaching tonight. Why don't you perk up tonight and say, my God, I'm glad I'm in the church tonight. I'm glad I'm in the church tonight. Hallelujah. I could make about 3 laps around this church house tonight. Listen, I've got a hold of it now. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to me. I just want to show you and show you some things in the midst of our joyful feeling. Some things that don't look too good. From January 1st until right this week, 17,500 businesses in this country went bankrupt or closed their doors. They went out. 17,500. 657 businesses closed their doors last week. That has not happened since the year of 1930. That's been 52 years ago. Let me tell you, the foundation of the money system. And I want to relate some things to you tonight, and I trust that you will go along with me. Do you know how much money that the United States government owes tonight? Did it ever occur to you how deeply in debt this nation is? We owe $1.11 trillion. Well over $1 trillion this nation owes tonight. You know what the interest on our national debt is this year? It's going to be $100 billion interest. That's more money than we take up here on Sunday night. $100 billion interest. If we didn't owe so much, we could balance the budget with the $100 million that we're going to spend for interest this year. Why are you saying that? I'm saying that to make you realize that everything is very shaky. It's like a bowl of jello. It's nervous. The leaders are nervous. They don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you, with a little old preacher down here in Orange, Texas, I could tell the world where to turn. They need to turn to Jesus Christ, who is the Rock of Ages. I don't know much, but I know where I am. And I know what I'm preaching. Now they're cracking down on all of the students that made loans to go to school and to colleges. The student loans, outstanding debts on student loans, are $3 billion. And you know what they're doing? They've sent them letter after letter. They pay no attention to it. They're going wherever they have cars or any possessions. They're hooking to their cars and pulling them off. And they're going to sell them to get what money they can. $3 billion. Here we are tonight. Banks are failing. You know why banks are failing? Because the banks of this country has extended credit to all the nations around the world. Now they can't even pay the interest on the loans, much less the principal. Banks are failing. More banks are going to fail. Oh, somebody said, I got my money here, or I got my money there. It's not really safe anywhere. Now somebody said, it's all insured. It might be, but did you ever hear of an insurance company going broke? A lot of folks that know in these church pews tonight, we're broken, don't know it. I said, we're broken, don't know it. Listen, let me tell you, when all this thing is squared away, this stage is being set tonight for the rise of the Antichrist. For the rise of the Antichrist. Such confusion I've never seen in my lifetime. Everybody is an ill at everybody else. Everybody's mad at everybody else. They remind me of a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Everybody's nervous. Got to take a pill. They're going to sleep by. Take a pill to get up by. They can't hardly work through the day. Oh, let me tell you, this gospel I'm preaching tonight, it'll get down in your heart. It'll get in your system. Right here at home, I read a long article the other day about Dallas. Now, it's all over the country, but they just focused on Dallas. A lot of northern people moved down here. They thought Texas was the promised land. They thought it was flowing with milk and honey. I was preaching out of state some time ago, and they got the impression that everybody in Texas is rich. That everybody in Texas owns a whole plot of land full of oil wells. And full of water. Definitely he was just as sincere as sin. He said, I understand everybody in Texas is rich. He said, I can't understand if everybody in Texas is rich, why they drive Volkswagens. Oh, I said, we use those Volkswagens to stand on while we wash our Cadillacs. Talk about rich. The church is rich. We're rich in mercy. Rich in compassion. Rich in the Holy Ghost. Rich, rich. Damn it tonight. And a lot of people came down here to work. Couldn't get no jobs. Then the husband and wife began to get mad at each other. You know, that'll cause that. When a young couple gets married, they think they're going to have this much in mom and dad that's been married 35, 40 years. Then they go out and buy on the installment plan. They go deep in debt. Then when the bills start piling up, they get mad at each other. You ought to stay out of the furniture store. Man, am I ever preaching tonight? See, when you get in debt, don't get mad at anybody but yourself. And they got to fussing and fighting. That has caused child abuse, wife abuse. Right up here in Dallas, I read the long article about it. And what they've had to do, they've had to take the children and put them in foster homes. Because the husband was about to kill his wife just because he couldn't get a job. Well, don't take it out on her. She can't help it. And you wives, don't take it out on your husband if you can't get a job. Stay with him. Praise God. Through thick of thin. Stay with him. Help him out. Fella told me, he said, I'm a go-getter. I said, yeah. He said, my wife works and I go get her. But these things were up on us tonight. Hear me? They're up on us tonight. Well, what are we going to do about it? We can't prop up the money system. But I tell you what we can do. We can stand under the drippings of Calvary. We can feel the ground when it trembles again. We can feel the power and the effect of that atoning blood. We're living in an age where everything's right and nothing's wrong. a very permissive society. Heard about the fellow went to the barbershop to get a shave. But that manicurist was a cute little thing. He was getting a shave and she was working on his nails. He said, "Honey, how about you and me going out tonight?" "Oh," she said, "I can't. I'm married." "Oh," he said, "call your husband and tell him that you're working tonight." She said, "You tell him he's shaving you." That wound that up right quick, like, you know. He didn't get to first base. It's a very permissive society. Anything is right in the eyes of people. Murder, rape, crime, stealing, whatever the case might be, robbery. Well, they're robbing people in broad open daylight. Robbing people. As they call it, aggravated robbery. Any time anybody robs me, it will sure be aggravation. I'll guarantee you that. Well, the foundation of the world is not too sure. It's not too sure. But in the midst of all of this confusion, in the midst of all of this confusion, sin, crime, shaky foundation upon which we are established as a lifestyle, there's a purchased possession that's living right here in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. Oh, that purchased possession. That purchased possession. I've tried to establish the foundation of the church. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 and Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen, let me tell you something about the church tonight. The world really hates the church. And I have often wondered why it was that the news media, they do not look in favor upon churches. A vote was taken not long ago among all of the commentators and the news media. A larger percent of these people do not believe in church of any kind. Nobody's church. They don't believe in nobody's church. That's why you never read too much good about the church. If you're going to expect the world to brag on the church, you know, sometimes they brag on us Pentecostals when we first got started, you know. We'd have to build a little shack on the other side of the track. And old some businessman would say, "You are doing a good work. You're reaching people that nobody else could." You know what they meant? It was a slap in the face. You get all the down and outers in that little shack back over there behind the railroad track. But we uptown, we got the cream of the crop. Well, let me tell you, we got the cream of the crop right here tonight. We don't have to hang our head in shame to anybody. Because we are a purchased possession. Praise God. We've been purchased. And oh, what a price He paid. What a price He paid. Hallelujah. And the Lord is looking down at this purchased possession. Is He going to take care of it? He certainly is. He's not going to let the devil steal it. If you'll just get in the church and stay in the church, you're going to be all right. But as long as you hang out on the edge and fall out every once in a while, this church may leave here while you fell out somewhere. Get in and stay in. That's what I'm preaching tonight.
Hallelujah.
I've never had no desire to get out. I'm having such a good time in until I don't think I'd fare too well outside. I'm having a good time where I am. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Thank God. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost here tonight. And it makes me happy. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Now we've got the foundation all established. Colossians 1, 18. Now let's see. I've got the foundation all established. It's sure. It's steadfast. Cannot be moved. But the foundation of the world is so shaky. I just read Saturday where 336 Woolco stores are going to close.
Right.
336. And that's going to affect 25,000 employees. Somebody said, "Well, how's the church doing in all of this conflicts and confusion we have?" It's just like it's always been. It's doing fine. Hallelujah. It's not sick. You know, the way some preachers preach, when Jesus Christ comes, He's going to come for His bride, and she's going to be stretched out on a stretcher. Anemic. Bloodless. Lifeless. And He's going to finally come down and pick up that kind of bride and take her in the rapture. No, my friend, that's not the way it is. When Jesus Christ comes again at the sound of the trump of God, He's coming for a bride that's full of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And the joy of the Lord is in the heart. He's coming for it, Bible-believing church. Hallelujah. That's who He's coming for.
Yes, He is. Praise the
Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18.
And He is the head of the body.
Who is the head?
He is.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is the head.
Of the body.
Of the body.
The church.
The church. Now that's far enough. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The body. The church is the body. The body is the church. And Jesus Christ is His head.
Right. Right.
The head of my church is not in Rome tonight. He's in heaven.
Hallelujah.
He's in heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if the church is the body is the church, and if Christ is the head, now let's find out how many churches there is. Read. Ephesians 4:4.
There is one body.
500.
One.
400.
One body.
1,000.
One body.
Go to the church of your choice.
There is one body.
Well, there's only one church.
One body.
One body, one church, and Christ is the head of that body, the church.
Yes, He is.
Now read on.
And one spirit.
How many spirits?
One.
One?
One.
One spirit.
One spirit.
Read on.
Even as ye are
even
called.
Even as you're called.
In one hope.
In one hope.
Of your calling.
Of your calling.
One Lord.
How many?
One.
Three.
One.
Two.
One.
Really?
One Lord.
One Lord.
One Lord.
Well, one Lord. Hallelujah. Now, is that clear?
Praise the Lord.
One Lord.
Hallelujah.
One church. One Lord.
Right.
Come on.
One Lord. One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One faith.
One faith.
Oh, now, brother, you go to the church of your choice. See, you are of this faith, and I am of this faith. But we all going to the same place.
One faith.
We're all not going to the same place. Well, the lady said, it's like going to Chicago. Said, you take a map, several different ways to get to Chicago. I said, we're not going to Chicago. I said, we're going to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I know some of you say, now that's the narrowest fellow I've heard preach in my life. You ain't heard nothing yet. Sure, I'm narrow. Jesus Christ is narrow. He said, narrow is the way that leads into life everlasting.
Hallelujah.
It's so narrow.
Hallelujah.
One faith. Come on.
One baptism. One baptism. One God.
How many?
One.
Three.
One God.
Two.
One God.
One God.
One God and Father of all.
And Father of all.
Who is above
all. Who is above all.
And through all.
And through all.
And in you
and
all.
And in you all.
Hallelujah.
That ought to be clear enough. There's one God. I said there's one God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. There's one God. Who is the Father of all. And above all. And through all, and in you all.
Hallelujah.
It's not as bad up north as it used to be, but when you got across the Mason and Dixon line, they like to hear Southern preachers preach, you know. Because we just sling it out. And they not used to that. And down south we say you all. Up there they don't. I was preaching one Sunday night, had a big crowd, and somewhere in my message, I said, you all. And I saw those Yankees begin to nudge each other. They started smiling. I stopped. I said, I know what you're smiling about. You're smiling because I said, you all. I said, I had a brother one time that talked just like that. And I read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There's one God who is above all and through all and in you all. And before I left, I had those Yankees walking around saying, you all. He's in you all. He's above all. He's through all. And He's in you all. That's His precious possession. He's in us. We're in Him. What is the church? Concrete? Steel? Paneling? No, the church is a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. That's the church. That's His precious possession. Oh, He loves it with all of His heart. I said He loves it with all of His heart. Hallelujah. He's in you all. Above all and through all. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Now, we're going right down the line tonight. See, I'm preaching about this purchased possession. This purchased possession. Now, listen. I'm going to prove something here right now in Ephesians 5:25.
Husbands.
Husbands.
Love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
Even as Christ also loved the what?
Church.
The church.
Uh-huh.
Christ loved the church. Read.
And gave himself for
And gave himself for the church.
Right.
That's what he died for, was
yes,
the church.
He did. Mm-hmm.
Read on.
That he might sanctify.
That he might petrify.
Sanctify. Right.
That he might sanctify.
And cleanse it.
And cleanse it.
With the washing of water.
Cleanse the church. That he might cleanse the church.
Hallelujah.
He loved the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church. That's why we're having church tonight. That everybody can get cleaned up. Ready to go up. Somebody said, I don't think that one ought to come to church. They're not living right. That's what the church is for. It's for those that's not living right, just like those that are living right.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like that, did you? I'll say it again. It's for everybody. Whether you're living right or not. I wish I had every sinner in Orange County that I could get them into place and preach Jesus Christ to them. I wish I could slip my arm around every drunkard around their shoulders tonight and tell them that Jesus Christ died for them and loved them. Hallelujah. And he loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water.
By the word.
By the word.
That he might present it.
That he might present it.
It. To himself.
Just a minute. That he might present it. What? His purchased possession. His church. To who?
To himself.
Read that a little louder.
That he might present it to himself.
To himself. Now, wait a minute. Somebody asked me not too long ago, why was Jesus Christ going to present the church to himself? I said, two reasons. Reason number one, there's nobody else to present it to. And reason number two, it's his. He bought it. He sanctified it. Why would he save it and then go and give it away to somebody else? Quite some time ago, I saw something in the store that I wanted for Christmas. I hinted to everybody in my family that would listen to me. Well, they never paid me no attention. I waited late as I could on Christmas Eve, and I went down to the store and I bought it. I said, where is the gift wrapping department at? They told me. I went back. I said, I want you to wrap up this package, put the most expensive paper on it that you got in the store. Yeah. I said, I want the most expensive and the biggest bore ribbon you got in this store. Put it on there. They said, this must be for a very special person. I said, you ain't kidding. It is. Well, she said, do you want a card? I said, the most expensive card you have. Now, she said, what would you want on the card? I said, you put on the card from W.E. Gamlin to W.E. Gamlin. She looked up. She said, run that by me again. And I just run it by her again. Well, she said, I'll do what you tell me. Well, I said, I want it exactly like that. I want it just like that. And when I got that package out, I went home and... When the family was all together, opening up their gifts, I walked out in the middle of the living room and presented this gift to myself. I bought it. My credit card bought it. It was mine. You think Jesus Christ is going to give his church away when he gets her to heaven? Why, 10,000 times no. He purchased this. He bought this. It's the apple of his eye. It's his body. It's his church. And he's not going to give it away. The church is his bride. Hallelujah. And when he comes, he's coming for his bride. He's coming for his church. You ought to be happy here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, you ought to get beside yourself tonight. I know when I'm preaching and I know when I'm fooling around, and I ain't fooling around tonight. Come on, let's read again.
Hallelujah.
That he might present it to himself.
A glorious church.
What kind of church?
A glorious church.
No, an unholy.
A glorious.
Dilapidated.
No, glorious.
Pipe sucking.
Glorious.
Cigarette smoking.
Glorious.
Wine bibbing.
Glorious.
Card playing.
Glorious.
Theater going. Is that the kind of church?
Glorious.
A glorious church.
Glorious church.
A glorious church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why don't you shout now?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Somebody said, when you're going to preach on the holiness, I'm giving you a dishful tonight. It's going to be a glorious church.
Glorious church. Praise the Lord.
I don't even shoot food. I don't even get drunk. Only church. You know what I'm going to say? I'd rather have a rattlesnake coiled up on my coffee table in my house than to have a deck of cards.
Yes, sir.
You hear me, don't you? You hear me, don't you? This is a glorious church.
Hallelujah.
It's a separated church.
Hallelujah.
It's a Bible-living church.
Hallelujah.
It's a holiness church.
Praise the Lord.
I think I might have struck a sore spot. Come up here and I lay my hands on the wound. Jesus will heal it if you get rid of everything that's not right.
Praise.
Somebody said they'll fire you. Nobody never hired me. Can't fire me. I'll preach it to get a hair lips the devil. If hell freezes over tonight and the devil forms a skating party, I'll still preach it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's a glorious
praise
church. It's a glorious
Lord.
Church.
Yes, it is.
It's a Holy Ghost church.
Hallelujah.
It's a church of holiness.
Praise
it's a church of holiness.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said it's all right to do things. Just don't do it out there among that environment. You don't believe that, and I'm going to prove you don't believe that. If you say that's the way it is, why don't you go down to the Quick and Go, 7-Eleven, everywhere you buy your stuff, and pick up a six-pack. Go home and call all your kids around the table. Now, honey, here we are. Life, come on in here. Here's our three kids. Now, we're going to have a beer-drinking party. We are not around no evil environment. We're going to do it in our home. You don't believe that if you believe the Bible. We have a move on in the United Pentecostal Church. It's entitled Save Our Children. How in the world are you going to save your children from that out there when you drag it in your own house? Oh, you just well to come on. If you ain't heard it all yet, you ain't heard it all yet. I'm preaching what God gave me yesterday. I knew yesterday what I was going to preach on tonight. I knew you wasn't going to shout in the singing. I knew that because God told me I was going to preach tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, you might as well perk up. Get everything straightened up in your own house. That's right, get it all ready. He's coming for the bride. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's read again.
Hallelujah.
That he might present it to himself. What kind of church?
A glorious church.
A glorious church.
Not having spots.
What?
Not having spot.
Not having spot.
Or wrinkle.
Or wrinkle.
Or any such thing.
Or any such thing.
But that it should be holy.
But that it should be holy.
And without blemish.
And without blemish.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he's coming after. You know, you never know what's in the minds of people. I don't know what some of y'all are thinking tonight. Reminds me, did you ever, on any trip, go to a place and they had a wishing well. You walk up to the wishing well and you throw in a coin and you make a wish. Of course, it's just fun, nothing to it. Throw in a coin, you make a wish. Man and his wife went up, closed her eyes, threw in a coin, made a wish, and they both dropped dead. So you never know what people are thinking about. I don't know what some of y'all are thinking about this tonight. Preaching from my heart. I'm preaching what God told me to preach. You'll never save your children until you get them in church. Until you cut them loose from all of the filth, degradation, all of this stuff out there. You've got to cut them loose if you ever intend to save them. Now, if you want them to die and go to hell, just turn them loose and let them go.
Come on, Brother Marlam. I got to get off of that right quick, like. Come on, read it. Read it.
Read on.
Yes, read on.
So ought men to love their wives.
As their own bodies.
As their own bodies.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
For no man ever hated his own flesh.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh.
But nourished and cherished it.
But nourished it and cherished it.
Even as the Lord.
As the Lord. The church. Just a minute. Now what does he do to the church? He'll nourish and cherish that church. When you're sick, afflicted, disappointed, downhearted, all you have to do is just get close to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he'll nourish.
Hallelujah.
And cherish you because you're his church.
Hallelujah.
I picked up something this afternoon that I want to read to you. In persecution, he will nourish you. Revelation chapter 2 teaches about the church at Smyrna was a persecuted church. Polycarp was the pastor of this local church. The church underwent undue pressure and persecution. Now, Polycarp, the local pastor of the church in Smyrna, was brought before the Roman governor. And the governor said, "We give you a choice to say, Caesar is Lord or Jesus is Lord." Polycarp refused to say, "Caesar is the Lord." The governor says, "Swear, I will set thee at liberty. Reproach Christ." Polycarp said, 80 and 6 years have I served him, and he never did me harm. How then can I blaspheme my king and my savior? Since thou art vainly urging that I should swear by the fortune of Caesar, and pretendest not to know who and what I am, hear me, I am a Christian. Facing death, he said, "Hear me, I am a Christian." The governor said, "I have wild beasts at hand. To these will I cast thee, except thou change." Later the governor said, "I will cause thee to be consumed by fire, seeing thou despisest the wild beasts, if I will not change." Polycarp said, "Thou threatenest me with fire, which burneth for an hour, and after a little is extinguished. But thou art ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why tarriest thou? Bring forth what thou wilt. They gather the wood and burn the faithful pastor in the flames." He prayed this moving prayer. This ought to move everybody here. While the flames was leaking around his body, this is what he looked up to God and said, "I thank thee that thou hast graciously thought me worthy of this day and of this hour, that I may receive a portion in the number of thy martyrs in the cup of thy Christ." Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you, Christianity is a way of life. It's a living, moving, tangible thing. Hallelujah. It'll go with you through persecution. It'll go with you through death. If you're burned at the stake, then the fire is snuffing out your life. Pray like Polycarp. This world is changing. There was a time when everybody wanted to leave the country and get to town. I want to get to town, get away from the fireplace, burn up on one side and freeze to death on the other. I'll get to town where I can have city conveniences. Now everybody wants to move back to the country or either get them a fireplace, the thing they left a long time ago. When I was growing up, if you wore faded blue jeans or faded overalls, you were poor. But if you had a patch on the cheek, you was sure enough poor. Now the fad is, buy faded blue jeans and put a patch on the cheek. Change it. Everybody changes. Well, there's a fad. Hip this country. Talk to flowers. Let them grow. I'd feel so silly standing outside of my door at the rose bush and say, "Come on now, honey, and bloom for Daddy." The crazy mixed up world we're living in. I looked out one morning and his neighbor had spread a newspaper out around his rose bushes. One of them said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I've talked to him long enough. I'm going out and read the paper for themselves." So crazy mixed up world. A fellow walking out across his lawn one day with a rope about 12, 15 feet long. just walking back and forth. His neighbor went out and said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I'm mixed up. I don't know if I've lost a cow or found a rope." Just mixed up everywhere. But Jesus Christ cannot mix you tonight. Hallelujah. I said, He cannot mix you tonight. He can put the power of the Holy Ghost in you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's read that one more time right on down the line. Just a little bit further here.
Okay.
For we
are members,
a member
of His body.
Of His body.
Of His flesh.
Of His flesh.
And of His bones.
And of His bones.
For this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother?
Shall a man leave his father and mother?
And shall be joined unto his wife?
And shall be joined unto his wife?
And they two shall be one flesh.
And this two shall be one flesh.
This is a great mystery.
This is a great mystery.
But I speak concerning Christ.
Concerning Christ.
And the church.
And the church.
And the church.
We are part of His flesh. Bone of His bone.
Hallelujah.
Close to Him. We are part of Him, and He's part of us. Hallelujah. We can walk through this whole world tonight. Part of Him. Part of Him.
Praise the Lord.
I've got to close because I'll have something to preach on next week.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I was preaching a camp meeting just a short time ago, and a fellow came from another state, and he got up and testified. He said, "I heard this man preach over in our state last year." And he said, "I thought he preached everything in the Bible in 5 nights." But he said, "I've come over here and he's finishing it all up." He said, "I never heard a fellow just go through the Bible like this." You know, I thank God for the Bible tonight. Hallelujah. I thank God for the Bible tonight. And listen, I want to spring a surprise on some of you folks here tonight. I want Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. You tell me that people will meet me in this church. Said, "How you feeling?" Paul said, "Fine." "Now, are you sure?" "I'll be some of y'all expect me to drop dead in the morning." I'm going to surprise you.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
While some of y'all sleeping away, I'm up here to church walking around at 12:30 at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, preaching. Listen, 6 times around this church is a mile. I walked the other morning, 12:30. 18 laps, 3 miles.
Wow.
And I preached every step. I said, I preached every step. I was parked at a red light. And I looked over. And a fellow's watching me. I was preaching. And they kept looking. They couldn't see nobody. And I guess they thought I had my wife tied up on the back seat. Gagged so I could talk to her. Well, I kind of slacked off a little. And next few days, I drove up to another red light. And I looked over, and this fellow sitting on the passenger side, he was next to me. Man, he's just going after it, you know. And then I looked over to the driver, man, he's hitting that straight wheel. And he's just going after it. And from then on, I said, they can laugh at me if they want to. I'm going to preach in a red light in a time I take an ocean. They think I'm crazy, but I think they're crazy. That's right. Hallelujah. So even to start with, oh, brother, just give me a touch. Just give me a touch of that all-time Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just give me a touch. Just a touch of that Holy Ghost and fire. Listen, I preached a camp meeting some time ago, one of our larger camp meetings, and I read Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. And that night when I got through, some of the old preachers came up and said, "Brother Gamlin, we've read the Bible and preached from the Bible, but we never did notice Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1 before." I'm going to read it to you. Genesis 5, verse 1. Read.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
In the day that God created man.
In the day that God created man.
In the likeness of God.
In the likeness of God made he him.
Male and female created
male
he them.
Male and female created he them.
And blessed them.
And blessed them.
And called their name Adam.
And called their name Adam.
Hallelujah.
You know what
Hallelujah.
That means? It means that Adam's wife had his name. It was Mrs. Adam. Now, the first man was of the earth, earthy. That was Adam. The second man is the Lord from glory. If the first man, Adam, which was earthy, had a bride and she had his name, What about the Lord of glory? When he returns, the bride is going to have his name. I said the bride is going to have his name. I said the bride is going to have his name. And that name is Jesus. Hallelujah. That name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.